from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yes, it is time for the Derek Shelton Show, brought to you by your local Parmore stores. Remember, if there's not a Parmore store near you now, there will be soon. The Pirates manager is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Paul Zeiss not here today. We don't actually know where he is. Shelty, how are you today?
I'm doing, I guess, hopefully better than Paul is. I mean, that's a little concerning that that's the intro, that we don't know where he's at. I mean,
well, but that's the case 3 out of the 5 days each week. We usually find out at 10:04 for a 10 o'clock show if he will indeed be here.
Really? Okay, yeah. Well, that's an interesting work dynamic. I mean,
it is.
Maybe at some point in the offseason I'll just come host the show with you once a week. What do you think about that?
That'd be great. In studio. Yeah, if you're in Pittsburgh, let's do it.
In studio. But I will tell you beforehand if I'm coming or not. How's that sound?
I like that. Yeah, at least
Should we be worried about Paul? I mean,
in a way, no. And then in another way, I'm worried about him all the time. So I'm so constantly worried about him that I'm not really that worried about him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Do you mind if City Limits joins in the proceedings today with a couple
of
questions?
Let's go. I mean, we gotta add somebody in. I mean, he showed up on time, and we appreciate that.
Plus, he's wearing a pillbox pirate hat from the 79 days. He's a big fan, City Limits. I don't know if you know that.
I know City Limits is a big fan, but the pillbox hat, I don't know. Where are you at on the pillbox hat?
On City Limits, it looks good. It looks good, I think. Yeah, I love the 79 uniforms, the mixes and matches.
The batting practice hat this year with the Stardle Stars that you guys have incorporated into the games, too, definitely one of the best hats in a while.
I love that. I wish we would wear it every Saturday or every – it was actually Brian Ruicki, who is one of our VPs. It was his idea to wear it during the 79 weekend, and then the players liked it, and we've worn it more, so – We may need to add that to the mix, because I agree with you. I think it's one of our better hats.
Very sharp. Speaking of Ruicki, I never did ask you about that the water delay, the flood on the warning track. I can't remember if I was out that week or what. Was that the most incredible thing you've been? Well, you've been part of some incredible things here, but that was ridiculous. You were in the outfield, and Ruicki got more airtime than anybody.
Yeah, I feel bad for Phil Bryan, and in that case, being on TV that much. Yeah, it was a strange thing. I think there's two things. It's number one, the rain came much faster than we anticipated. And I think, as we all know, in Pittsburgh, you can get rain. We saw the rain the other day at home in the last game, the Sunday game, how it came and then went. That rain came faster with more intensity than any report we had. And then we had an unfortunate situation where we had a pipe drain that they found out the next day that in left center field that was busted. And that's why we were not getting, you know, that was the challenge that we had getting the water off the field. And then we had to make sure that we got all the water off the field before we could play. So we had a ton of dry time, you know, before it was a situation where the outfield or the warning track was playable.
That was just amazing to watch that whole thing unfold. But Shelty, let's get to current events here. It's been said of you by many people that you're the same guy every day when you come in here, when you come into the clubhouse. When you're going through this, how do you accomplish that? How do you sort of prepare yourself to go into that clubhouse? Because you have to be incredibly frustrated, probably ticked off a lot of the time in private. How do you show up each day the same still?
Well, I think there's a couple things. As I know, and you and I have talked about this through the years, Stark, is that players will feed off, you know, what happens in the manager's chair and the manager's office. So it's really important. And then the second thing is, and this is in no way a cover behind it, because, you know, we have not won games over the last 2 weeks. If effort is an issue, then I will change who I am and how I react to things. Our effort has not changed. We've lost 11 one-run games since the break. You know, we've got to figure out a way to be better. But if I lose my mind because of that, then it's not going to help. Now, that's not to say that privately there haven't been times where, you know, I have shown frustration or I have expressed that to people or our players. But to do it, you know, publicly or outwardly, like, I'm not going to do that because I think it's important to stay the same, good, bad, or indifferent. It's just, you know, what I believe in as a person. And I know people, you know, some people don't like that or some people may want to see it, but that's just not who I am.
I think that people would disagree with the effort part, just to be frank and honest with you, and I would be one of them. I'm not saying it's necessarily chronic, but there have been several examples either of guys not running out of the box. That was Cruz one day. Same thing happened with the Yankees and Aaron Boone benched. I forgot who he benched a couple weeks ago. Same exact situation, not running out of the box. I see some guys not running all out to first, which nobody really does, I guess, these days anymore on routine grounders. John Wehner was on The Fan last week, I believe it was, and said that he gets frustrated more than anything with the question, is the effort there consistently? Is it there 100% of the time, he said. And he says at times it's not. So how do you answer to people who don't think the effort is there 100% of the time?
Okay, so you're going to have to – you broke up on me and who said what there? Because you kind of broke up on me halfway through that question.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you now.
Yeah, I was talking about getting out of the box on Cruz. Tellez have had situations, guys not running to first. And John Wehner last week on The Fan said – is the effort there 100% of the time? At times it's not, and how that frustrates him. So how do you respond to people who actually don't think that the effort is there 100% of the time?
Well, I understand that, and everybody's going to have their opinion on that. In terms of it, if it affects an extra base or how it's going, that's when the effort comes into play in my mind. You know, I mean, every ground ball, is it 100% down the line for everybody? No, not in the big leagues anywhere. You know, so I think, you know, I understand that could be a difference of opinion. If it affects the base or it affects, you know, being able to score a run, then I think, yeah, that does become an issue. In terms of the thing you brought up with the Aaron Boone and Gleyber Torres, I mean, that's an individual situation that happens with every team, and I think every manager handles that differently, you know. So in that situation, I wouldn't want to speak to it because I don't know the situation that happened before that with Gleyber, with Booney.
Are you tempted in a situation like that, Shelty, when you see a guy, let's just take the Cruz play from whatever it was a couple weeks ago, where he's not hustling out of the box, are you tempted to say, that's it for the day, we can't have that? I mean, I remember when Hurdle benched McCutchen for not getting out of the batter's box one time. Are you tempted to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm tempted at times. I mean, I've done it before, you know, not in the major leagues, but in the minor leagues with players and taking them out. Situations like that are addressed, you know, so it's not like just because it's you're taking somebody out specifically, that those situations, I don't know the specific one that you're referring to or Rock was referring to with Cruz. But, yes, I mean, situations like that are addressed.
Shelty, Brian De La Cruz, since being acquired, is hitting under 200 with only two RBIs. You sat him down a couple of times just trying to get him right. In the brief amount of time that you spent with him, what have you noticed about his approach, and why do you think he's struggling the way he is?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. You know, coming to a new team, obviously being traded, you want to perform, and it's a challenge. He really looks to me like he's kind of in between, you know, that he's not being as aggressive as he was when we saw him when he was with the Marlins. And I think that is, you know, that's kind of gone to the point of the hard contact or impacting the baseball, because he's in between. And we got to get him to trust just taking good aggressive swings like we saw earlier in the year when he was with the Marlins.
Pirates manager Derek Shelton on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Obviously a big story this week that we've been talking about a lot. Really a big story for the year, Shelty, is Key Brian Hayes. Some people had him as a low-key MVP candidate. He hit so well his final 3 months last year. He told Jason Mackey the other day, this is the quote, Hayes said, "Someone who has what I have," referring to his back, "you want to stay away from turning, but that's what I have to do every day." What does he have? Like, have you guys or him independently reached a conclusion as to what is, obviously you haven't, I guess, what is wrong with his back and how to fix it? Because it seems like this really hurt him 2 years ago and again this year.
Yeah, so to the answer to the first question, no, we have not determined that yet. He saw a doctor yesterday. We are having more testing actually run today. And I know we need to get to a solution, because Key's been grinding. And to his point, when you have a back, and you guys well know this, when you have a back issue, the rotation is the biggest component to it. And, you know, he's been battling this for a while. It's been affecting the ability to rotate. And we have to find a solution for it, because he is important. You know, we saw, as you pointed out, Stark, over the last 2 months, the impact offensive player he could be. And because of the, you know, lack of ability to rotate or whatever it is that's causing him not to be able to rotate the way he wants, it's impacted his swing this year. And we don't have an answer yet. We will get an answer. And the reason we don't have an answer yet is just we're waiting for more testing and waiting for the doctors to, you know, kind of inform us of what the next course of action should be.
Yeah, I guess it all just seems so vague, even from a couple of years ago when he was saying he was having trouble getting on and off the plane. This year, having trouble turning, it just seems to be, you know, really hurting the team, quite frankly. And I'm wondering, this off season, do you have to maybe have a solution where you move on at third base if you can't get this identified?
No, I think the thing is more important for us is to get it identified. Because, you know, we've seen the impact that Key Brian can have defensively, and we've seen in spurts when he's healthy, you know, how good of an offensive player he can be. I mean, I think last year, you know, in June, August, and September, really impactful offensive player, missed July, most of July, and had to get him healthy. So the important thing is finding out what this is, because I think we all know with back situations, it's something that can flare up, and when you're doing a rotational sport, it causes issues. So the biggest thing right now for us is finding out how we can treat this, how we can get him back to where he was.
Speaking on trying to get someone else back to being healthy, Jared Jones scheduled to start today in Indianapolis. How important is it to get him back with the number of innings that he's pitched this year and try to make sure that he still throws a consistent amount of innings this season so that next year there's no worry about a pitch count or pitch limits or anything?
And
like
I
that.
Might add that Destiny's Child has his return pegged for a week from now, yes? Is that right, city limits?
Not August 14th.
Not anymore, no.
Yeah, okay, so can we go to the first or the second point of that? This is why we don't go to Destiny's Child for Nostradamus-type predictions, because... Exactly. So he's going to – I'm going to ask him, like, or I would like you guys to ask him, since he's not here, like, when should Jones pitch next? Because evidently he's got it figured out.
Yeah.
But to City Limits' point, yeah, Jared is scheduled to pitch tonight in Indianapolis, which is important. And, yes, building his volume up throughout the year is very important for us. He is very important for us, not only, you know, in 24, but moving forward. So we have to make sure that we continue to get his volume built up at a healthy rate and make sure that he finishes the season strong and healthy, because he is important to us.
A question we get a lot here is a guy like Billy McKinney. I mean, is he still at his age considered a prospect? And when it's time to call somebody up, people want to know, well, why not Davis? Why not York? Younger guys who are red hot at AAA.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a really good question. I think McKinney and what we felt, the situation where we're at right now, he was the best fit for us. But, I mean, York is doing a good job down there. Cook's doing a good job. Henry's swinging the bat well. You know, those guys are important. The first two guys right now are not on the roster. You know, they have to be added this offseason. So those will probably be conversations that we will have, you know, over the next couple of weeks and getting a look at them. But as of right now, both those guys are doing a good job. Henry's swinging the bat better, and that's really encouraging for us.
A great story this year for you guys, I think, has been Kyle Nicklaus, Shelty. And, man, it didn't look good at first. That Cubs game would be demoralizing for anybody. Take us back to that and what you think turned his season around, because I think in these last 2 months, his ERA is at one or under.
Yeah, so the Cubs series, that was Skeens' debut, right?
Yeah.
When he just didn't throw strikes, and we had a hard time throwing strikes in that game and ended up coming back and winning it. I would point to, I don't know if it was his next outing or two outings later, but it was the Dodger outing. And the first inning, he went out and gave up a couple runs. And the second inning, he punched out Ohtani on three pitches. And don't quote me specifically on the detail. I think he punched out Ohtani on three pitches, three breaking balls. And then Mookie got 3-1, and it may be in reverse order. Mookie got 3-1, and he beat him with a fastball, and he popped out to right field or to first base. That was what kind of changed it for me. That was like, okay, I can get big league hitters out. I can get the best big league hitters out in the world. And sometimes it's just that little bit of confidence, you know. In the Cub outing, it's challenging. I mean, it gets rained out. Everybody's there for Skeens. We don't throw strikes coming out of it. Holderman didn't throw strikes. He didn't throw strikes. You know, the crowd got irritated, and I understand that. So I think it was just the confidence of coming back in whether that was that outing or the next outing and going after the best hitters and getting them out. And another one that stands out to me is when we were in Houston a couple weeks ago, he got Yordan Alvarez in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
In the first game, he got two outs, and it looked like he got tentative around him and pitched around him. And then the next day went right after him. So it's one of those things that this kid's got really good stuff. And sometimes it's just that confidence of like, hey, man, I can do this. I can go after people. I can use my stuff in the zone. And I think we've seen the maturation of Kyle Nicklaus through the year. And to your point, it's a good story. I think we're going to have a guy that's going to be a leverage reliever for us moving forward. And with some of the guys that have been hurt now, he's actually getting those leverage innings, which is going to be really good experience for us, you know, throughout this year and moving forward.
Something I'm really curious about, I think we've talked about it before, but I still don't really have a handle on it, is that across the industry, I keep seeing and reading and hearing that there's never been a bigger gulf between AAA and the majors for hitters. So when I see Henry Davis down there, he doesn't go down and play well. He goes down and kills people. I mean, he's hitting 350, I think, over the last month, 1,000 OPS, 600 slugging, close to all that. It's AAA for a reason. Those aren't major league pitchers, but it's always been that way. Is it true that there's more of a gulf than ever between AAA and major league pitching? And if so, why?
Yeah, it's the biggest. It's the biggest difference it's probably been in the last, well, as long as I can remember. I think we're seeing it throughout the industry. It's not just the difference between Indianapolis and Pittsburgh, or, you know, the Triple A situation in Pittsburgh. It's everywhere. And I think if you look at, you know, numbers of guys that have gone to AAA and to your point, dominated AAA and then come to the big leagues and struggled, it's the biggest challenge. I think your point goes back to like the Nicklaus point a little bit. You know, guys like Nicklaus were guys that spent a ton of time in AAA and kind of refined some of the things we were talking about. Teams now are bringing those guys to the big leagues. they're bringing them to the big leagues. And I think the biggest difference is players don't see velocity in AAA. There's just not as much high-end velocity. And we've talked about it a lot this year and in the previous years. The velocity in the big leagues continues to rise, whether it's on the fastball or the breaking ball. And because of that, we're seeing the biggest jump of probably, you know, all time in terms of AAA and the big leagues. And then the other thing is the way the schedule is built in AAA is six games in one city. So six games in one city, that means you're going to end up seeing the same pitchers multiple times, which never happens in a big league series. You may see a leverage reliever maybe twice in a big league series. In a minor league series and in a AAA series, you may see those guys three times. So the ability to see them that quickly is so advantageous for offense that we've created an environment that's not close. And that's why we're seeing hitters that do really well in AAA come to the big leagues and still have issues.
How close are we to completely recreating what a guy will see on a mound in a major league game? I saw there's a commercial with Michael McHenry, and I knew that you could manipulate these pitching machines to recreate exactly a pitcher's repertoire and how you think they'll approach you, even to the point in that commercial with McHenry where there's like an AI creation of the pitcher. Like, how close can you come to replicating that and therefore helping a guy like a Henry Davis or anybody get ready for major league pitching?
Yeah, so there is a machine, and I haven't seen the commercial with Michael, but I'm assuming that you're referring to like the Traject machine, which is what we have that basically replicates what you'll see in a major league game. And yeah, we have one in Pittsburgh. We're using it, and it's something that is going to be helpful moving forward. You know, but it's one of those things that we are using right now in terms of how widely spread goes through the industry. I think that's going to be the question because the machine is fairly new and it was just approved this year to be able to use it in a major league setting in the game. So I think the next couple of years are going to be important in terms of, you know, how that technology continues to advance.
A lot of people I talk to, Shelty, are curious about Nick York and Billy Cook. Is it that jump because they haven't made the majors yet that maybe is one reason why they're not here? What might that be so far for you?
No, I think both those guys were excited about it. We acquired in a trade, and we wanted to get a look at. And like I said earlier, neither one of them are on the 40-man yet. They are guys that have to be added. And I think they will be guys that we have conversations about over the next few weeks.
Shelty, obviously when this happens to a team, there's going to be criticism. And a lot of it, as I'm sure you know, is directed toward you. Are you aware of it? Do you become aware of it? How do you deal with it?
Well, I understand that. I think, like as we've talked about previously, like when you have this job and you go through a stretch that we went through, that there's going to be criticism, and understand that and appreciate that people are, you know, passionate about it. How I handle it, I think, goes back to the first question you asked. I have to be the same person every day. I continue to, you know, look at every decision we make, how we make them, you know, if it's right or wrong. I've been the first person to tell you when I've made decisions that I don't think they're right, you know? So I think just continuing to focus on on what we're doing and how our process is. But I definitely understand the criticism, and I understand that people are passionate about it. So, you know, the awareness of it, yeah, to some respect. I mean, you know, I appreciate that you bring it up to me every week, Stark, and, you know, that just makes my week. But but I think it's a situation where, yeah, I'm aware of it.
Two more quick questions. One is Skeens, who, if he was on, you know, a normal schedule, I think he would be pitching tomorrow. When is he pitching next, and will we see him get spaced out like that pretty much the rest of the year?
Yeah, well, he'll be spaced out. I think he's spaced out to be normal. He'll pitch when we get home, but we have not pitched him on regular 5 days rest. I think but one time all year. He's been on a 6-day rotation, which most of our guys have been on. And then I think the second part of your question is, yeah, I mean, he will continue to pitch. He will continue to be spaced out when he pitches, though.
Do you have a specific innings limit that when he reaches it, his season's done?
I think we have a general idea of where we want him to be. I mean, we have no plans, no immediate plans to shut him down, if that is the question. But are we going to monitor him or, you know, limit him in terms of the volume, maybe even within games or the total number? Yeah, I think we're still kind of working through that in terms of the days and when he pitches, but no immediate plans to shut him down.
Knowing him, well, I don't know him, but knowing what I know about him, is he on board with all of that? Do you imagine that he might not be on board for being taken out of games a little earlier than usual, that type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I would never talk about publicly unless I've already talked to the player about it. So we've talked to him about it. We've explained to him, you know, the priority of him and his health, and, you know, it's the major league season. I think the big difference here is this is his first professional season, essentially. So, you know, most starting pitchers go through, like, let's say Jared Jones or, you know, guys that come through our system, they've gone through the how many they're going to throw in a year and then how many they're going to throw in the next year. This kid, because he's so different, I mean, all this is new at the major league level. So our first priority with him is making sure that he finishes the season strong, he finishes the season healthy, and kind of work off that, because we're dealing in an area where not a lot of people deal with the fact that it's his first big league season. And he understands that. He does a very good job communicating. We've talked to him about the rigors of a major league season and how to handle it.
Concern level with Keller. Is he just going to be on his regular schedule now? Is there any larger concerns with him?
No larger concerns. I mean, will we try to get him extra days? Yeah, but we've tried to get everybody extra days throughout this. Throughout the whole season, we've been really aware of that, but no overall concerns with him.
Lastly, Shelty, and I know I went over the two-question limit, IKF predicts 100 wins next season. Thoughts?
I did not know that, but I love his confidence.
Thank you, Shelty.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
Good luck today. That's Pirates manager Derek Shelton. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And we want you back with us after the break to talk more Pittsburgh sports. Heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. Schedule a heart checkup at UPMC today. Very easy to do with people who really know what they're doing. So get that scheduled. What did you make of all that? Limitless wonder. What stood out to you? I wish somebody would. Well, you know what? You go ahead and answer the question. I'm being selfish now.
The mentality on Skeens, or at least what's being said publicly, is staying the same, which has been the last couple of weeks, which I'm not necessarily surprised about. Now, what I kind of took away from that is, will we be seeing Paul Skeens pitching into the seventh? I would think not. Maybe the sixth inning is the capper for how long he's going to go in his starts and try to limit it that way, and also pitch counts.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's no rush to bring up some of the new guys that they acquired at the deadline, the Billy Cooks, the Nick Yorks. That's why I know you asked about it. That's why I wanted to ask him again, like just to see why that potentially might not be the case. And those aren't like groundbreaking players, but they're still guys that they acquired for a reason.
Yeah, we don't know what they are yet. He was really good, I thought, on the difference between AAA and the majors. Yeah. That made sense to me. And then, man, I wish somebody between now and next season, other than IKF, would put a stake in the ground. You may remember that going into 2013, Clint Hurdle said 95 wins. 95 wins, and everybody thought he was nuts. How many games did they win, City Limits? Wrong. 94. You're right.
Yeah.
94. Somebody put a stake in the ground around here. Let's go. And why shouldn't it be Shelty? Ben Charrington kind of said 84 wins was something they wanted to surpass this year. That ain't going to happen. But I wish that somebody would just put a stake in the ground here. I guess IKF did at 100. Did you like that?
Yeah, I heard that was Zangrilli. 100 wins, I mean.
I love it.
Get to 500 first, please, but I love the confidence.
No, fire past 500 and get to 100 wins.
I'm talking about this season.
Oh.
The goal was supposed to be to get to 500 so that next year that is an attainable feat. If that makes any sense.
It doesn't. They're not going to get there this year.
The 500 now?
No.
Not eight games under
below
right now.
No. Everything's falling apart here.
Right now, they have to get to 76.
Why?
That's where they were at last year.
Oh.
They fall below 76. That's not good.
What do you feel right now is chances Shelty returns next season? Percent?
75. I'm not confident that...
I feel 60%.
Yeah, I'm not confident that they will make a change there.
That's a tough sell if they don't get to last year's win total. Bob Smizek thinks that Bob Nutting will fire Shelty.
Maybe a 50-50 proposition is the best that I could think. I think there's a greater chance than not that he comes back than he does not.
412-928-9370. Paul's not here. Would you like to dive into a mailbag with me?
I would love to. It's intergalactically red.
Went from here to Uranus. Yes, it is. There's little, what do they call the people who live there?
The Martians?
Martians, yeah.
Aliens?
Galatians, is that a word? No.
Are you talking about glaciers?
No, I don't know what I'm talking about. I thought that was
like
a word.
Like the big bodies of water frozen in ice?
Not frozen anymore, but yes. Big bodies of water. I don't know what I'm talking about.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What did you just tell me?
So, according to Nicole Auerbach, who just got a big promotion at NBC... Oklahoma State players for football will wear QR codes on the back of their helmets that link to a donations page for their NIL collective. So, you're telling me that Oklahoma State thinks that people are going to be watching their football games, see a QR code on the back of their helmets, which looks very small, in the brief 2-second period where maybe the back of their helmet is shown and they're going to pull out their phones and scan it just for the hell of it?
Why not?
And then
if
notice
they're big
that
enough
it's...
fans. I love this. I love everything that's happened with NIL and money, and I love the fact that coaches hate it and that it's complete chaos, because that's what they all deserve after decades and decades of cheating. I was just watching the Pony Express documentary, Craig James and Eric Dickerson. Now, they cheated out in the open, and they were going to cheat better than anybody else, and I love them for that. And what I don't love so much is that you go back to the John Wooden era UCLA Bruins, and that program cheated its ass off, and nobody ever talked about it because Wooden sort of turned a blind eye to a guy named Sam Gilbert. So nobody ever talked about the stereos and the airplane tickets and all the crap that they were doing back then with players to build the fabled UCLA dynasty. But man, they're sure happy to talk about SMU when some billionaire from Texas, pretty much out in the open, starts paying players tons of money. They're going to nail him to the wall, which is what they did. That program got the death penalty. But it was long before that, that all the cheating started in college sports. All the payments started in what we called amateur sports. And this is the logical finish line to that unchecked cheating. And I love it. I can't tell you how much I love it. Every time a new story arises where it's Mike Gundy saying, oh, that's it for you guys with NIL now. Well, you can get back to it in December. Meanwhile, Oklahoma says we're going to put these codes on the back of
Oklahoma
guys.
State. No, it's Gundy. Oklahoma State.
What?
Yes.
He just said 2 days ago that they're not going to do any more NIL stuff, right?
Well, apparently he was lying.
Oh, this is tremendous. This is even better.
Maybe when he said they weren't going to do any more NIL stuff, after this, that hasn't already been announced.
This is absolutely incrinculent. I mean,
yeah, Gundy to players, quit calling for more money 2 days ago. Well, yesterday, ESPN put this video out there.
That is truly amazing.
Oh, and there's a statement from Mike Gundy.
What did he say?
He has a change of tune. This is a revolutionary step forward to help keep Oklahoma State football ahead of the game. It gives a chance for everyday fans across the world to have a real impact when it comes to supporting the NIL efforts for Cowboy football. I'm thrilled about this opportunity for our players. What a flip-flopper, like a teeter-totter going back and forth on this crap.
Is he a beauty, that guy? The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19 Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills, my intergalactically read mailbag at the Post-Gazette. Paul is not here to indulge me. Ron certainly isn't. He's drinking in Florida as we speak. So it's me in City Limits. A man named Paul Christopher. Which team wins more games in September? Pitt football or the Steelers? Pitt has 3 of 4 games at home. Steelers 3 of 4 on the road. Pitt plays Kent State at Cincy, which is supposed to be horrible this season, West Virginia, and Youngstown State. The Steelers play at Atlanta, at Denver, home against the Chargers, and at Indy. Who are you picking to have more wins at the end of September, little limitless wonder?
So Kent State is August 31st. Are we including it as September, even though it's the last day of August?
Can you believe this guy, Ron?
I'm going to say,
I love that quote. By the end of September, who has more wins?
Oh, by the end of September.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My God, the technicalities that you get involved in.
I think Pitt football does. I think they win 3 out of 4. They beat Youngstown State, they beat Kent State, and they beat Cincinnati. I don't know about West Virginia. It's up in the air.
Okay. How about the other guys? What are they going to have?
The Steelers?
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll also have 3 wins.
See, that's what I said. I said each would have 2, but then I chickened out of the question. So then I said, if I have to pick one, I'm picking Pitt to have 3 and the Steelers 2. You think they're going to have 3? I think the Steelers lose at Atlanta.
I think they beat Atlanta.
I think they lose. God, you have to. What if they start 0-2?
You're buying into Bo Nix.
No, I think they lose at Atlanta and at Indy. Because I think they get outcoached like they did last year, losing to a backup quarterback at Indy. And I think they beat Denver and the Chargers.
You ready for this hot take?
No, wait. Yeah, they're going to win the Russell Wilson Bowl. That's going to be unbelievable.
You ready for this hot take?
Yeah.
I think they're going to start 3-1 and win all 3 road games and lose the 1 home game.
Holy horse.
They will lose the Chargers game at home. They will beat the Falcons, Broncos, and Colts on the road.
That's a horrible take.
I don't think the Colts are that good. I don't believe in Anthony Richardson.
I do, actually. I think Anthony Richardson's going to be good. And I think that guys who can run around like that can give the Steelers problems.
Well, they can hone in and contain Lamar Jackson as well as anybody in the league. The best of anybody in the league. So what makes you think they can't control other running quarterbacks?
Because I've seen other running quarterbacks run on them.
Like who?
I don't know.
Justin Fields?
Uh, All right, you want me to go back? I need to have my second paw pause. I'm going to use both my paw pauses because he's going to...
Now, if it's a very good paw pause, you gain a third paw pause. It's like a challenge. If you win both your challenges, or I guess one challenge now,
all right,
you get a third.
Do you want me to travel back to every season against running quarterbacks, how they do?
No.
Okay,
just
then
recency.
I won't. Recency bias. How about Josh Allen in the old playoff game? Think they did a good job honing him in the playoff game?
I don't
when he's running untouched for 45 yards for a
that
touchdown?
That was bad. I remember that.
I get
vividly.
Another Paul pause, don't I? I think so.
Yeah, you get another Paul pause.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't consider him a running quarterback, though. I think of him more of a pocket passer.
That's just not true. I hate to say that.
Josh Allen?
I watch every Bills game there is. He's their lead running back. I think he might be the best running quarterback in football. And I know there's Lamar Jackson and there's Justin Fields.
Do you consider Patrick Mahomes a running quarterback?
No, but he certainly can run when he wants.
He can.
And make things happen. Okay, let's go to last year with some running quarterbacks. I already disproved it, didn't I?
I think Josh Allen is a mobile quarterback.
Remember when they couldn't stop Anthony Brown at the end of the game here a couple of years
ago?
Who
was that, the Ravens guy?
Yeah, their backup guy. Yeah.
Their backup guy.
That's right. Who beat them? Was Kyler Murray in the game when they lost to Arizona last year?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. I think it was Kyler Murray that beat them. So, yeah, I guess my point is disproven. It's just Lamar Jackson. They just have his number significantly.
I don't know if it's disproven. Maybe I overdid it. And now I feel
they've
ashamed.
Done pretty well containing running quarterbacks, though, and not letting them beat them, other than...
No, they haven't.
The worst example is obviously the Terrell Pryor-Oakland game, but that was, what, 10 years ago now?
At least 10 years ago. I don't know, man. Oh, Gardner Minshew, he had 2 carries for 0 yards. I can't use him. Do I use... All right, I'm out of Paul pauses here. No more.
You gained one if you want to use it.
I'll use it in the 1 o'clock hour. What was that question? Oh, who would have more...
Who would have more wins after the first month of the season? Pitt or the Steelers?
We really haven't talked much college football. We have to start on that, don't we? We'll get Zeiss back
in. It starts next week.
That's in his wheelhouse for sure.
Technically, it starts this week. There's a... Florida State, I think, is playing in Dublin. Are they playing Notre Dame in Dublin? Somebody's playing in Dublin.
I don't know.
Why did you use one of my Paul pauses right now?
Joe Turek asks, why does Ben Cherington refuse to call up any useful prospects instead of Alika Williams, Jiwon Bey, etc.? I basically asked Shelty that, didn't I, today? And I don't even remember what he said.
It's Florida State and Georgia Tech, by the way.
Thank you. I don't remember what he said. He kind of talked around it a little bit, I think. Get the guys up here who you're going to depend on. He said Billy McKinney was a better fit. Billy McKinney is older than Ron.
And he was talking about guys that weren't added to the 40-man roster. It's not that hard to get rid of a guy that's struggling as poorly.
In fact, they should do that. Get rid of some of these one-year-old guys and let somebody else maybe pick them up. And let's get some of these young kids up here and look at them.
DFA Michael A. Taylor. Why not? Or place a Josh Palacios on the 60-day injured list if it could be a possibility.
Yeah, get a look at Nick York.
They're completely fine.
Billy Cook.
DFAing Ryder Ryan for the second time. They optioned him like 6 times this season.
Another look at Hank Davis. Come on. What are we doing here? A man named Jack Hammer. Get it?
Very nice.
With the current logjam within the Penguins roster, what is the likelihood we see any moves of significant happening before the start of camp? Wonder Twin? You're not going to use a Paul pause, are you?
No, I'd say not that significant. I really just don't see much of a big move coming. And if it would have, it would have been made by now. If the only big move would be Jari.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said. I said, I suppose Dubas could surprise us, Dr. Hammer, but I think his team is on the floor, so to speak. That's what I think. And then a man named Bibble asks, can we start calling Andy Haynes Bat Canada?
I think it's overdue.
I think that's pretty good. Do you?
It's very good.
You don't seem that happy with it.
I think a texter texted it in.
Yeah, you didn't laugh when it happened, so you must not like it.
I'm sorry.
I think not.
But Ron thought it was funny. And that's all that matters.
I think Bat Canada is a great nickname.
Bat Canada.
Should they start chanting that
at the Pirate game?
I thought that's Canada? That's the way you would react the first time around. Did you get it the first time? It's okay if you didn't. I never get jokes.
No, I did not get it the first time at all.
Really?
No, I did not.
Well, that explains everything.
Yes.
And thank you for being man enough to admit that now.
I will preach honesty as much as I can.
But you didn't there because you went with it for a minute.
That's why I said as much as I can.
I think Bibble is onto something here with Andy Haynes as Bat Canada. What a nice man he seems like, huh? And last and least, a man named Donald says, at what date do you start to get worried about the Crosby contract situation? I hear everyone say, he's not playing anywhere else. But we've thought that about other athletes in the past, says Donald. Wonder Twin, what do you say?
I am 5% concerned with the Sidney, maybe 8.7% concerned with the Sidney Crosby dilemma that's going on right now. He's going to sign. I think that the holdup maybe at this point is one of two things. Either Crosby is mulling how many years he wants to play, and he doesn't want to sign for too long because it would be a dead cap hit for the Penguins if he retired, and then they'd have to have a couple additional years. So I think it's probably that. And maybe Kyle Dubas is working on something where it might not be that significant, but something where it could fluctuate what happens with the Penguins financially, and maybe Crosby willing to accept whatever move that would be to improve the team is okay with taking less money for maybe this year and maybe be backloading the contract with more money. So I think it's one of those two things.
It could be. I'm not that concerned about it. As I told Pomp, I think some of this is people are wanting to create a delay when it might not even be a delay. I don't know. I don't know what's happening with Sid Summer. If he's, I don't know what he's, maybe they're just going to do it when they get back to Pittsburgh. What's wrong with that?
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I know he's been in the city a couple times, though, I thought, right? Skating and at different events and stuff like that. So now, could it have happened then?
But what I will say and what I said to Donald was, the one thing that does stick way in the back of my mind is, when was it they changed ownership? 5 years ago? Seinfeld says when we get to this age, everything happened, quote, about 5 years ago. That's when it happened. I talked to somebody who had been in the organization for a very long time at a high-level job. He said that with this new ownership, it's suddenly way more of a corporate feel and that Pittsburgh prefers more of a family feel. And I agree with that. I do. And something just makes me wonder, does Sid agree with that way back in his mind? You know, something doesn't feel right with Mario not around. It just doesn't.
It just
doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel Penguins, you know?
And it really hasn't since. They haven't won a playoff series with the Fenway Sports Group here. It seems like Mario is disconnected. Like, I truly wonder.
Well, he is completely disconnected.
Yeah, completely. How? He's not involved at all. I wonder what he thinks of that. Because wasn't he supposed to still be a part of this?
Maybe Sid can be a part owner.
Yeah, like a minority ownership fashion. Mario still has some control of the team.
No, he doesn't.
Not really. Fenway obviously has the biggest control, but he is still a partner in the group, right?
I'm not even sure about that at this point. I don't know. He's just completely disassociated with the Penguins, and it doesn't feel right. Something just feels very cold and corporate about the Penguins right now. I think that's a fact. That doesn't even feel like an opinion. Does any fan disagree with that?
No, I fully agree.
Now, winning cures all. If they come in and they win with that group, then nobody gives a crap, right? But it's exacerbated by the losing and maybe contributing. I don't know. I don't know, honestly. I'd love to tell you if I did, but that's just the feel of it. And I would bet that most fans feel the same way. It feels a little bit disconnected in Penguins country these days. Less of a family, more of a corporation. Do you agree with that, Wonder Twin?
I do, because the most beloved player in franchise history who saved the organization is now no longer a part of it. Whether that's just business being business, or whether it being just on Mario's own accord, which, I mean, it was. He wasn't forced to sell or anything like that. It feels like kind of an estranged family. And I don't think I use that word properly, but you know what I mean. Where people are just kind of pushed to the side a little bit. It's not the same lovey feeling anymore. The wins isn't there. it doesn't feel right. And I think that maybe is a part of this, maybe not the number one factor, obviously, but everything comes together to form problems, and I think it's a couple layers of it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.